This is an ABC podcast.
Resorts, homes and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
We need to be prepared for the future.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
And make sure everyone's safety comes first.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Clearing roads, restoring critical infrastructure.
Eventually, I know it's going to hit. It's only a matter of time.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, and this is Pacific Prepared. It's a show all about natural disasters, climate change, and traditional knowledge, and how those things are all connected. And you'll hear that through stories from right across the Pacific. Each week, we work with local reporters. They're on the ground letting us know what's happening in this space and what people want to hear about. On today's show, combining traditional knowledge and science, and how putting some formal structure around sharing traditional knowledge is helpful for some people in the Pacific.
In the Pacific, it provides that platform where it preaches science and traditional knowledge. The information that we have is brought down to the level of the community in a way that it can be shared, it can be preserved, and it can be passed on from one generation to the future generation.
Also, one Fijian village has the perfect location, but climate change is making life harder and harder. We'll hear why the villagers are being cut off from their own homes. And we look back at a story from earlier in 2023 about how Samoan dance now includes elements of climate change. That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Sharing traditional knowledge, in a lot of cases, is something that tends to just happen, kind of naturally. It doesn't really need a lot of help. But there are some programs in the Pacific that have put some kind of formal processes in place because they realise how important sharing this knowledge can be in certain areas. Fiji-based reporter and freelance journalist Josiah Nanunga has this story.
Echoes of Oceania is a new platform to support community-based fisheries management practitioners in the Pacific Islands has been launched. It aims to enhance the resilience of coastal fisheries by creating a space for effective knowledge sharing and trusted sources of information. Pacific Island communities are central to coastal fisheries management because they depend on marine resources for their livelihoods, cultural heritage, and well-being. The people in these communities are also a rich source of traditional knowledge, which is essential for site-specific management, and this platform is built upon their experiences and stories. Now, what is community-based fisheries management? Community-based fisheries management, or CBFM, refers to management approaches that are driven by communities. By enabling communities to take the lead in managing their coastal fisheries resources, this style of management encompasses an ecosystem approach that will sustain livelihoods and ensure resilient island communities. Recognizing that coastal resources are under increasing threat of overfishing, now exacerbated by climate change, Pacific Island countries and territories have agreed through regional and sub-regional policies to scale up coastal fisheries management, incorporating CBFM approaches. Laitia Tamata, a representative from a non-government organization called Fiji Locally Managed Marine Area, or FLEMA, says the people of Oceania echo a deep voice that carries all traditional knowledge and wisdom. The name, Echoes of Oceania, is also meant to evoke the idea of passing down knowledge and wisdom from one generation to the next.
The Echoes of Oceania, the concept for such a website is, I believe, is really timely in terms of community-based fisheries management. It's information inside the platform is really, really good. It's current. It's from lessons learned over the years. And it's handy for all practitioners and communities to use this tool to assist them in effectively managing their resources. So I would encourage our communities in the Pacific to use this resource. It's easy to follow, and it's available now on the web, and I think all the information, the resources, there's stories from the field that are in there, there are toolkits, there are reports that what's been done in other countries, it's all in there. It's really helpful for us to digest and also see how we can apply it to our own context.
June Brian Molitaviti, Manager Research and Aquaculture at the Ministry of Agriculture, Livestock, Forestry, Fisheries and Biosecurity in Vanuatu, says Echoes of Oceania is designed to serve multiple audiences, including CBFM practitioners such as government agencies, fisheries offices, non-governmental organizations, and civil society organizations, academic institutions, regional organizations, media, donors and students.
I am very pleased to be part of this, and yes, I would like to stress the significant the Echoes of Oceania is to the community-based fisheries work in the Pacific. I believe that the Echoes of Oceania is basically a scaling up of the CPFM work. It in the Pacific, it provides that platform where it bridges science and traditional knowledge. The information that we have is brought down to the level of the community in a way that it can be shared, it can be preserved, and it can be passed on from one generation to the future generation. So I very much appreciate this, and I see it as a scaling up of that the CPFM framework for fisheries resources management and conservation in the Pacific.
Shannon Sito, a representative from World Wide Fund for Nature, or WWF, says the information is also structured in a manner to make it easier for any people in the Pacific to find topic-centered resources.
Well, the launch was it was a great event in a WWF perspective. I think the benefits is huge within the region. Having that access to those resources will be very, very valuable. And it'd be great resources for our communities to be able to access. So, yes, it was a great event.
What's your take on your reaction towards its relevancy to the Pacific context?
I think to the Pacific context, it's I guess more so with the challenges of accessing these resources at a community level with this tool, with this site. I think it will provide that opportunity to have those very valuable materials that are quite lacking in the Pacific. I think having access to these materials by, maybe more engagement with the local NGOs, networking partners, but also these NGOs contributing resources, lessons learned, to build up these resources that is accessible to everyone. Yeah.
Now, some people might be wondering, how can they contribute? Remember, The success of this platform, Echoes of Oceania, very much depends on the participation of the people it serves. You can kindly contribute by sharing relevant resources and information on CBFM in your respective country, which includes the current projects, testimonies, contacts, among others. I am Josiah Nanunga, filing stories from Newmare in New Caledonia.
Thanks to Pacific Prepared reporter and freelance journalist Josiah Nanunga, usually reporting from Fiji, on that occasion reporting from New Caledonia.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepare.
People have been dancing in the Pacific for over 1,000 years. And yes, it looks great, but there's also always meaning behind the moves, telling a story through the dance. And over the years, those stories have changed. They change to keep up with what's happening around them. And that includes climate change. This is a recording from a recent dance performance in Western Sydney by Matt Devai, Pacific Cultural Arts Centre.
Hi, my name is Waimoana Shwenki. I'm Samoan and I work at Matavai Pacific Cultural Arts. Because the Pacific Ocean is so large and there's thousands of Pacific islands, cultures are distinctly different. So in some cultures, like the Tokelauan culture, their dances and their songs have actually been passed down from generations. They're the same dances and the same songs, but it's still about the ocean and the land. Whereas in Samoa, our traditional dance, Siva Samoa, we can still create choreographies today. Right. And a lot of those choreographies that we have made at Matavai have been reflective of the changes in the weather, you know, extreme weather patterns, king tides, natural disasters. They're all things that affect us, and we can reflect this in our dance. You know, we can reflect this through fast movements, through graceful movements. But I definitely do think that the songs, especially that Pacific people are making, they are telling the story of climate change. Because our songs are our history, and that's how we record our information. Yeah, so my current work at the moment is at my family's Heart and Soul, which is our Pacific Cultural Centre based in Liverpool, Sydney, and it's called Matavai Pacific Cultural Arts. In many languages, Matavai means eye of the water or source of the water, and the meaning for that name was we wanted the place to be a source of culture for young people, specifically Pacific Island people, for them to be able to learn about their culture through dance, through music, through storytelling.
Do you think that in some way helps your communities to be more resilient against natural disasters if they have a really good understanding and it's kind of incorporated into their culture then? Do they have a better understanding of how to become more resilient after natural disasters?
Yeah, so for example, when we teach the dance and the songs, we ensure that we talk about the history and what's currently happening. So if we're doing a dance about the ocean, we ensure that we've done our research on what's happening to the ocean and teach our kids as well, because dance can often become recreational and just movements, but we ensure that these movements have meaning. And it's education for our young people, not only in the diaspora, but they can teach their families as well. A lot of people in the islands are still a little bit ignorant to climate change because, you know, they're facing their own hardships in the islands, being poorer countries and trying to survive. I think education with our diaspora can really filter out to the islands as well. But the knowledge holders in the islands, they are already aware of these issues because they're the ones caretaking and sustaining the land every day.
Moi Moana Shwenki, ending that story from a little earlier in 2022. My name's Fred Hooper and you're listening to Pacific Prepared.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
About an hour's drive from Suva in Fiji, there's a beautiful village called Namuka. There's a long concrete path that leads right through the centre of the village. The houses have incredible gardens, green lawns, and right next to the village is a river, which is also beautiful. But it's also been causing issues for the community. The same path that leads you through the village starts way back at the water's edge. Really, the only way into the village is by boat. And that path is often underwater, cutting people off from their homes. We visited the village with the Fijian Broadcasting Corporation to find out more.
Okay, I'm the headman, Turan Kora at the village Namukambau, Telebu. And just recently during very high tide, all these places have been covered with water. Mm. I think it's the affecting of climate change, eh? So that's what we are facing right now.
How long have you lived here for?
Oh, I've been living here for about 20 plus years.
So when did you first start noticing that? So we're standing at the moment. We're fairly close to the river there.
Right.
When did you notice the water coming up into the village here? Which is, it seems quite high here.
Right. About 10 years ago, it's happening now.
Yeah.
During very high tide, it's happening now. Before, it used to happen once a month, mm-hmm. once a year, but now nearly every year, twice, it's happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what happens then? Is it difficult for people to get around in the village, or what happens in the village when there's water up through here? So where are we in the village, by the way, at the moment?
Yeah. Right. So whenever you said they'll try to do some sort of the walkway so that they can go across to the other side.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the problem is mostly the village people going to the market, selling their produce, and the people using it for hospital and everything. So, especially the school children, it's very hard.
Yeah. So, where is the market from here? Well,
from here, they sell the produce right at the urban areas, Nosuri and Suba.
Okay.
That's a place where they're selling their produce.
So, they need to get right out of the village then to sell.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
You're right.
Wow, incredible.
Okay.
Okay, I think we're going to keep walking. I might talk to you again in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. So where we are standing right now, you can see the level of foot crossing is a little bit different. From there, it's a little bit lower, and this one, the height is a little bit there.
Yeah.
So the reason is, before, the water level used to be right there.
We're looking down at the lower level now.
Lower level, right under the lower level, on the side.
Yeah.
But now, as the water increases, so we try to raise this one to this height.
Yeah.
But this height, the water is during very high tide, still going.
So when did you make this change here? Because you can see there's probably, it's quite a considerable step up, maybe foot or something, probably like that height.
Right.
When did you do this change?
Oh, this one is about 10 years ago,
okay.
We do this one. So at the moment, as you can see, there's a big changes in seawater level height.
Yeah, amazing.
Right. Great. So the thing is, we are looking for donors.
Yeah.
So who can help us to raise this thing to that standard so it cannot be underwater. That's why. As you can see, the village people are staying in the village, mostly a little bit subsistence farming.
Yeah.
And looking at money-wise, we need donors so that we can build this one properly for our future generation.
Yeah.
Mostly our school children, one will use this later.
Yeah. And do you think about things beyond this as well? I mean, you know, you could raise this up again, and then 10 years' time,
right.
You might need to raise it again.
Right.
Do you think about things beyond that and think about, I guess, climate change as a bigger issue too?
Right. That's what they are trying to do now. Eh? I mean, we understand now this is caused by climate change. Mm. So the thing to avoid this thing, we can't stop the climate change. So the only thing we have to go by the rising water. So now we need to, so we can do it for 10, 20 years time. Mm. So it can a little bit help for the people in the village who are mostly using this crossing to the other side.
Yeah. Whereabouts are we standing at the moment then in the village?
Okay, see, at my left, you see that drain? The level of the river is getting high. And that one of the things that caused the... So we try to dig it up, make it a little bit deep, so it can a little bit help.
Okay.
So there.
So this is... So what you're saying, we're looking at a drain here at the moment. A drain. So this has been built by the village, this drain?
Yeah. It's built by the village.
Yep.
So it can a little bit sort of... to avoid the excessive amount of seawater coming inside.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So that's why we try to do this. On our own initiative, eh?
And it's working well so far?
Not very well. Not very well.
The tides are still too high then? The
tide's still too high.
What about, so these houses that are over, if we look at there, so
under
these...
Water, under the water.
Really?
It will be not the house, it's the level, will, the water will be...
Under the house.
Under the house.
All right. How long does it stay like that for?
That, what are you trying to say? How long does it stay?
Yeah, like, is it sort of like a 24 hours or two days or...
No, no. Whenever the tide goes down, then it will go down.
How many people do you have living here?
There are about 60 houses here. And about 300 plus people living here.
Wow.
300 plus people living in this community.
What's it like to live here?
Oh, it's good to live here because our ancestors and all this, they have been living here. And it's very hard to move. You know that protocol, it's very hard to move because there's no other place to move. We all hilly places and all this. Unless we need help from somewhere so they can excavate and make it level, then it might help a little bit.
Have you spoken about moving the village?
Yeah, we most of us in the village, they don't want to move. It's very hard. But the thing is, if they move, we have to go. If the tide is coming up, we have to go by it. So we have to move the village if they want to avoid this sort of high tide and all this. That's our only solution. The only thing is, you know, the Fijian protocol, the one why? The one why. That's, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's a problem too.
How do you describe that vanua to someone who doesn't understand?
No, but I'm trying to say that whatever place they settle from their ancestor, they want to stay there. But during the tide, during the, you know, the, what you call the climate change, we have to vacate the place and move to somewhere else. That's our only solution. But if you need to be stay here, this sort of problem will continue. We don't know what can we do it. What can we do? But it's very hard. It all depends on up here. If you want to move, you move. If you see the problem, move. But if you want to keep here, this sort of situation you'll face.
That's a difficult decision to make, though, isn't it?
It's a difficult decision, because they've been living here for how many years? From their forefathers and all this. And you tell them to leave, it's very hard. The mindset needs to be changed, according to the weather pattern.
Thanks to our broadcast partner, the Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, for their help with that story. My name's Fred Hooper, and this is Pacific Prepared.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
This group of Tongans are pretty happy right now. They're on board a military-style boat headed for Awa Island, a place they can now call home. These people are former residents of Mungo Island, and they haven't been able to live there since the January 15 volcanic eruption and tsunami. Tipi Loma is one of the residents who's relocating to Awa Island, and you can tell she's looking forward to it.
Firstly, I would like to thank the God Almighty for his protection, especially during this time as we are relocating to our new home. Today, I am here with my children and grandchildren, excited to be here at our new home. This was indeed a dream, and it has become a reality only with God's grace. We were warmly welcomed here, and we have opened our new homes, and we feel safe with our loved ones. We're happy with the government's timely assistance so we can enjoy our new homes. We're looking forward to the new year, 2023. At a new place, we look at the agricultural sector for income and putting our children at school, as this is a new area, but days have gone by and we are getting more familiar with our new home and the environment, the place and the people. The new lifestyle is different, as we are used to living on a small island where we mostly get stuff such as the pandanus for free. Now we have to consider generating an income such as weaving using the pandanus from our island.
Lava mai ki heni, pe ma tu uta mai ki heni, tai tai le rei ma tol pe fonuani, kakai nau fie fia, kauko nau whakalahi e mau lava mai.
We got here and we were warmly welcomed and we were told that we are their addition to the population, and I'm filled with joy, knowing that we are one people on a new island. Waking up in a new home and the new area is beautiful and the weather. I'm just grateful for God's great love that we are able to witness it here today. We have beautiful homes and we are thankful to Her Majesty for fully furnishing our new homes, as I mentioned. Today we wake up and thank the Lord for all that He has provided for us. We are now just at temporary shelters while the government completes building our permanent homes, and during this time, we are happy and safe at where we are now.
Ko ya aku fakalata yang anu fo e mau pi no fo ko ini tu ke ha tai me to ki fa halawa ko mama hi aku tonton.
Thanks to the Tonga Broadcasting Commission for the help with that story from a little earlier in 2023.
Need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. If you're working on something that's directly related to this program, please let us know, because we'd love to tell everyone about it. Maybe you've got a story idea, a personal experience you'd like to share, a topic to cover, or someone that you think we should meet. The easiest way to get in touch is to search for Pacific Prepared and then scroll down to the Connect with Pacific Prepared section. You can also listen back to the program. If you just type Pacific Prepared into your search engine, then you'll find us. Part of the aim of this program is to start conversations about natural disasters, climate change, and how traditional knowledge links them all together. This has been our final episode for 2023. Pacific Prepared is back in 2024, so keep an ear out. A huge thanks to all our broadcast partners and freelance journalists from right across the Pacific, because without them, we wouldn't have a program. My name is Fred Hooper. Please share any information that you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.